Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
I am fascinated to see where these results come in on Twitter at KBN ESPN. How would you evaluate Jordan Love through 14 weeks? Elite, great, good, or average? Right now, only elite and great with the votes. Very early, just put up by Alex Stroff. Kyle Bruston-Northman across ESPN Wisconsin with you on ESPN Wisconsin until 4 o'clock. Take you to 5 o'clock on 94.5 ESPN. Stroff's running the show. Love to hear from you, as always, on the Cardless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. And engage with us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. If you don't mind, guys, I'd like to start.
Please.
He is great. He is knocking on the door of elite. I can't vote for elite, but he is great. And you know what makes him great? This isn't a negative. This is what we've grown accustomed to. Not in a bulk fashion by any sense, but that first interception, right? You're like, what the hell? But again, the guy has amnesia in the best way. I used to say basketball have shooter's amnesia. He's got INT amnesia. He throws it and he's like, whatever. Like, that's one throw. And then threw three touchdown passes, one dime ball to Bo Melton, hit Christian Watson in a way in which we've always talked about Jordan Love from a putting the ball, can he put it in the spot where the receiver can catch and, like, do more with it? That ball was perfect, Christian Watson. Then he put on the meep, meep jet speed and was gone. So his ability to continue to not let one throw affect the entire game makes him great. He's knocking on the door of elite. The way he becomes elite, unfortunately, I think he's got to go do this type of stuff in the playoffs. I think he's going to be great for me until you get that Jordan Love type game in the playoffs. Like he did against the Dallas Cowboys, but in an NFC championship game, you know, like it's tough, but ultimately that's how we judge elite quarterbacks, is how far they're able to take their team in the playoffs. Fair or unfair, that's kind of how it is, and that's what I think he's capable of doing it, and he's got some help around him. The defense is good enough, right, from a standpoint of, like, you have a pass rusher that changes the game for you. They have speed. They're starting to build their identity. That I'm going to say great. And I love that he doesn't let those interceptions bother him, because a lot of quarterbacks, they throw one, they change their game. He stayed in there, threw three touchdowns, and played fantastic.
I was going to vote great. And I was going to vote great for that reason right there. Because on that first drive, I even tweeted about this. I said, he took a big sack, Jordan Love, and then he threw a bad interception. I was thinking to myself, this is the only way Chicago Bears wins, is if you give them the game. And I was concerned at that point. And what do you know? Jordan Love doesn't rattle whatsoever. He turns it back on, and he is elite the rest of the game. Having that type of amnesia, having that type of ability to turn the page and be able to fearlessly throw the ball, whether it be down the field, through the needle, whatever else, is what makes him elite. Now, the question is he among the elite quarterbacks' careers of, like, the landscape? He's not there yet. He's not Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen.
Just this season, through week 14.
The question is he in 2025 season through week 14 elite? And the answer is an emphatic yes. So he is third in fewest interceptions, fifth in touchdown passes, ninth in completion percentage, second in QBR, fourth in quarterback rating. All of those top 10 stats, mostly top five stats.
Top five in the rating and QBR, I think, is very important.
That takes in everything, and that takes in time of the game. So what you do in the fourth quarter matters more than what you do in the first quarter. For all those reasons, he's statistically elite. But really, you know what it comes down to, guys? When you watch the Green Bay Packers, you know what the reality is? The Green Bay Packers win because of Jordan Love.
Thank you.
They win because of Jordan Love, and that is the ultimate sniff test of an elite quarterback. He has elite numbers. That's right. Yep, that's elite. That's elite right there. He has elite numbers. He is an elite quarterback. He is game planned against, and the Packers win because of Jordan Love. That makes him an elite quarterback.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've been waiting for y'all to finally see the light of elite Jordan Love. Yesterday was another elite performance. 234 yards, 3 touchdown passes. But what makes Jordan Love so good is the fact that right there that you believe, Brad, is that every time the opposing team comes back and gets close to the Green Bay Packers, what does Jordan Love do? They're up 14-11. The Bears cut the lead to 3. What does Jordan Love do? Leads them downfield for a touchdown. The Bears tie the game up at 21-21 late in the fourth quarter. What does Jordan Love do? Lead them downfield for a touchdown to win that football game. That is exactly what elite quarterbacks do, and he's doing it with deep passes, short passes, and everything. But more importantly, y'all, is the fact that Jordan Love, his demeanor, right? The way he is with these guys, right? His whole personality, how composed he is, the leadership qualities that make everybody around him better. The one thing elite quarterback does, and we saw with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, they rise everybody's talent around him. That is exactly what we're seeing is Jordan Love is getting the most out of these guys because every time they're in the huddle, he doesn't flinch. He does not flinch. He threw that interception, and guess what? Jordan Love didn't flinch whatsoever, and everybody saw that, and everybody said, you know what? We good. Jordan got us, and the results is what we see on the football field. So what you are looking at is you are looking at an elite quarterback in the NFL with Jordan Love, and you saw the difference. Caleb Williams, young quarterback, ain't ready. What did he do? He threw an interception to lose that game. Jordan Love, every single week, he puts the Green Bay Packers in a position to win. It is rare that a football team each and every week is either blowing teams out, winning by double digits, or losing by a couple points. That is what a good quarterback can do for you, is keep teams alive and give you opportunity.
We have a lot of the Carbless Talk and text line. J-Love is Graylete.
Pick one. Pick
I agree.
One. Graylete or Graylete?
Probably Graylete. Graylete in between great and elite.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case anymore, though, boys.
Yeah.
I think he's graduated.
I was going to go to you after the Carbless Talk and text line, but this one stood out to me. Elite, ? He threw an interception. Do you consider Patrick Mahomes elite?
Dude said threw an interception. Bro, he has 4 interceptions. The whole
The
whole knock on Jordan Love the first 2 seasons, especially early in the season, was his poor decision-making, the interceptions that he's thrown. And we're going to sit here and act like this guy is going to be perfect and not throw a single interception? Right now, he is teetering in Aaron Rodgers-type air when it comes to the ratio of touchdowns to interceptions. This guy is going to finish the season with single-digit interceptions, and he may have 30 touchdowns. Like, let's give him his credit. We're going to talk about one interception. All quarterbacks make bad throws. You're going to throw the ball 25 to 30 times in a game. You may have one bad throw. Like, dude is playing at a ridiculous level. But more importantly, look at the record. He has a winning record every single year.
He's playing really, really well.
Wait a minute. Can I just finish?
It was just one comment.
Every season.
Chill, bro.
Thank you. Every season he has been a quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, he has had a winning record. That is extremely impressive. Especially following after 2 legends like he did. Like, let's
especially
give the kid
being
his credit.
3-5 and taking them to
They were 3-6.
3-6, right.
That was still the most remarkable.
As I was listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, the only thing that they brought up that is interesting, that I think is just nitpicky to the conversation, but it's like it is kind of true. He doesn't have, again, this is nitpicky. He doesn't have those like, oh, the ball is tipped and it's getting intercepted. You know what I mean?
Every one of his 4 interceptions this season has been, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy.
But the good news is he's played 13 games and there's only been 4 of them.
But it's just funny that all 4 of them are like, what the hell?
Well, and last year, he used to have 5 of those throws per game where it's like, oh, that's a bad interception, or oh, that should be intercepted. Now he's having 1 throw every 3 weeks where it's like, ooh, that was rough. They're like memorable, right? He's playing so well that the bad throws, you can like remember them distinctly. And again, that's reflective of a great quarterback because it's so uncharacteristic of Jordan Love now where when he does throw that bad pick, it sticks out in your memory. Bad quarterbacks, there's too many of them. You can't even remember all of them because there's too many. He is playing such an elite level that...
Yeah, you said bad quarterback, it stands out. Like, I have him in my head and I'm like, oh yeah,
Yeah, I mean, those I can like remember those 4 picks. When somebody throws 15 interceptions, you can't remember all of them. So Jordan Love, to see him ascend, the one thing Jordan Love has always done, he has been able to shape and evolve and be coachable, right? All the things that you get on him for. Oh, completion percentage is down. He becomes top 10 in completion percentage. Mm-hmm. Last year, he's playing great, but you got to eliminate those dumb throws. He's basically eliminated those. He's third fewest interceptions in the NFL. The guy that's probably going to win the MVP, Matthew Stafford, he also has four interceptions. Yeah. So it's just inevitable. Well, you just got to limit them.
I said Kyle is one comment, but now we're getting basically elite or like absolutely not. I'll bet you $100 he'll never win a Super Bowl. Decent to good.
Oh, whoa, the haters.
Elite need more consistency and to win big games. Again, the question is through 14 weeks. So I think that is what's being convoluted.
He might win the MVP.
Again,
if we're talking strictly about this year.
Kevin in Illinois, elite. My man might mess around and win the MVP. He's on the trajectory, especially if Stafford or May have a couple meh games. He's in the mix. He's third in the MVP odds. Think he's probably going to fall short, but
it's an outstanding year, though.
But if this team is the number one seed in the NFC, if the Rams do falter, how do you not give it to him? Because it's likely going to be, again, we've talked about it. They go as far as he takes
Matthew
them, and
Stafford
as he's been going, the Packers have been winning.
Yeah,
but if Carathon continues the way it started.
Carathon, man.
The problem
Carathon is, Jordan Love is such a real thing, it's actually unbelievable. It's truly ridiculous.
It is. The hard thing is Stafford needs to falter. Jordan Love keeps playing well, Matthew Stafford needs to play bad the final four games.
Yeah, I mean, he's putting up, when they win, they win in dominant fashion. He's putting up big numbers, big numbers.
800-990-3776. Stevie, I know you get mad at some things, but are you celebrating the happy Victory Monday here?
I am. I'm very happy to be on with you guys. You guys know you guys are my favorite. I wasn't going to talk about this. I'm going to start by saying the Jordan Love hate is disturbing. Extremely disturbing. He is, he's done everything we've asked of him, and people don't realize it's like the LaFleur thing, right? If you're going to get rid of him, then what? Well, you're going to get rid of Jordan Love? Do you realize how hard it is to find a quarterback in the National Football League, right? And he's been amazing. So, stop the Jordan Love hate. You guys sound ridiculous out there. But what I wanted to talk about is the celebrating on the defensive side. I think that you guys have known I've been on this for a long time. I've noticed it quite a bit. Yesterday there was a play on first down where we made a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. Guys are dancing in the backfield, and then they give up a 20-yard gain. And for me, I can't accept that. And I think it comes down to a lack of focus. They get a lead, and we're a younger team. I think X and the other guys need to reel these guys in. And going with that, I don't know if you guys noticed it. We have trouble finishing plays. I know Manungai is tough to tackle, but on several occasions yesterday, guys gave up before the play was over, including the play on the goal line where Valentine did not had given up, and he got away. Valentine was behind. So he gave up behind, and he thought the play was over, and he would have been there. He would have gotten rolled over,
well,
too.
Well, and Stevie, appreciate the call. Got to keep it rolling here. We know your overall thoughts here, but I would ask you to look at every team around the NFL. If somebody makes a play behind the line of scrimmage, everyone celebrates.
It's a game.
It's emotional.
It's emotional, but it's also a game to be celebrated. I would say this defense plays with so much passion. They play with so much speed. They play with flowing to the ball. Like, this defense,
I almost don't want
to
take it out.
I mean, do you remember when Manungai met Cooper in the hole?
And his helmet flipped off.
Oh, my gosh. That is football, baby. These guys are flying around, popping pads, popping helmets, and playing with passion. Evan Williams, Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Buller, Xavier McKinney, Keyshawn Nixon, CV, like this whole power, this team flies around there and they make hits and they make plays and they don't give up.
Brad just talked about the second best running offense in the NFL. Their long was nine yards.
Not one explosive run. Now, you guys are right, and you know, to be actually on the field and these guys, I mean, modern day gladiators, right, of being able to feel that emotion out there. The one thing I'll agree with Stevie is, there are some times where the trash talking or the celebration, it just like it didn't really fit the moment. and it came up, gave me a moment of like lack of self-awareness. 90% of the time, I am totally with you when it comes to like celebrating, enjoy it. You make a big play, you lean into that. Every once in a while, the trash talking occurs, or a hit that's like 15 yards down the line, down the field, and you're celebrating a big hit. There are moments where 10% of the time, I'm like, that didn't fit a celebration or a trash talk. But 90% of the time, I'm totally good with it.
Yeah, I can go back to like Keyshawn Nixon and Jair Alexander celebrating against the Vikings and then giving up to I even forget the wide receiver three's name that had four catches for 50 yards and scored a touchdown on the same drive out of the second half against the Vikings when they were 14-3. Josh Naylor, maybe?
Yeah, is that it?
I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
But that's when I was like, man, focus up. But like, look at what they've done. Top 10 rush defense. Like, Micah Parsons off the edge.
Top 10. Oh, top 10 rush defense. Yeah. They showed. I think they showed up yesterday. It was a battle, and I can't wait for next week. But without that, let's get forward and move forward to the Denver Broncos.
We will continue on this victory Monday as Brad thinks he's nailed down the identity of the Green Bay Packers. Have you? 800-990-3776, the Carbo's Talking text line. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
You throw hands?
Do I throw hands?
With T.O.?
Will I? No, I throw hands with Andre the Giant, man.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Love going to the Princeton Club for a great workout, whether it's the 8 Madison locations, as I was driving by last week, or the one in New Berlin, sauna, steam room. You walk in, the vibe is fantastic. They're cheering for you to get better. They provide everything for you in their wonderful fitness clubs. Free childcare with the membership, open 24/7, super clean, great equipment. Literally, everything you need is right there. So matter what your goal is, big or small, get the tour, and you're going to find out the Princeton Club is the place for you, for your better tomorrow. It is a victory Monday on Kyle Bruston-Ortman. As the Packers win 28-21, regain first place of the NFC North.
That's cool. I mean, that's nice.
And have their sights set on other things, Kyle. That's what I was going to say next.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool and all. Like, first place is nice. Like, this is, should be expected this year.
Wait a minute. They haven't won the NFC North in however many years?
Well, it was not expected. Wrong, I agree. But this was the goal to take it back.
For sure.
I haven't won it since
2021. Isn't that worth celebrating? Isn't that, I mean, it's not
been
done yet.
Four Job's seasons? That was three seasons.
No, goodness. They didn't make the playoffs in 22. They've been the seventh seed, 23, 24.
Season four.
Oh, so it'd be three
fourth
seasons.
Season.
Fourth season.
Missed but if three they, times. Yeah, missed fourth three season. Times.
He can't do math.
Well, 2021 was the last time they won the North. It's been four years.
Semantics off. Bradley Nortman.
Let's see how many years it's been. I gave you the answer.
Three or four.
Asking me for a final answer?
Yeah.
It's been 4 years.
But if they win it this year, it's only been three seasons.
A three-season gap.
Right. But first time in 4 years.
But they win.
They would say the first time in 4 years they've won the division. That is what they would say.
That's kind of.
I think he's right. Brad, what's this team's identity?
All right, guys, it hasn't been firmly, completely established yet, but you're seeing the foundation, and I'm seeing this team's identity.
Whoa. It's not firmly?
Well, yeah, I mean, it takes more than a month of establishing it.
You, of all people, have been saying by week 14 at
very true.
I mean,
you have.
That's too late. Season, so, no, you're the NFL been saying guy. It's too late, so it better be now. Otherwise, you're breaking your own rule. You're not
true.
Firmly saying their identity. You're going to wait till week 16?
Well, most identities.
You know what I'm saying,
most identities are already established week two. So this Packers team,
oh, wow.
They're playing behind
week
the eight ball.
Two,
so finally,
that.
Oh, yeah. You think Dan Campbell and the the Lions wonder about who they are week two? Or the the high-flying Rams, this team.
Yes, the Lions did wonder who they were week two.
Not most of these years, though.
That's true.
This team has a culture and an identity of letting it rip. That is why this is what I see when I see the offense and defense. And Matt LaFleur, the new version of Matt LaFleur, it's letting it rip. On the offense, baby, love is in the air. You are taking shots with Jordan Love. High-flying, love-centric rhythm, and you are taking shots. And also in the running game, a physical style of running. And on the defensive side, hard-hitting and fast, and you're getting after the passer. For all those reasons, plus going forward on fourth down, this team has has embraced and leaned into a culture not of being conservative, not like it was middle of the season, but of a culture of letting it rip. I see it in the game plans. I see it on offense. I see it on defense. Matt LaFleur's fourth down calls. It would be really easy. Like I said last week, hey, this Bears defense, you know, the only way they win games is if they get turnovers. So you should throttle it back a little bit. Don't take the risks. Don't take the chances. Don't let it rip. Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love laughs at that notion, and you saw all in the game plan of letting it rip. With Jordan Love, ball in his hands, even in the running game, you can see the way Josh Jacobs runs is physical. It's heavy-handed. It embraces contact. Offense, defense, play calling. It is let it rip. The only way the Green Bay Packers will get to their final goal, winning the NFC North, maybe even a Super Bowl run, is to continue this identity of letting it rip. If you get too conservative, you're gonna falter like they did earlier in the season. Let it rip, Matt LaFleur. Let it rip.
And they found so much success.
Do you firmly believe that's the foundation?
I do believe it is now.
No, it's as it should be. Again, we've seen success when this team has been ultra-aggressive. You've seen the results on the football field. You saw it at the end of the first half when you're taking a deep shot for 40-some yards downfield to Bo Melton. It's because of the fact that you're staying aggressive in these football games. You saw it against the Detroit Lions. When this team stays aggressive in these big games like this, they seem to find success. And let this be a lesson for Matt LaFleur as we continue to move on. How do you want to live and die? Right. That is how do you want to live being conservative or you want to die being aggressive? I want this Green Bay Packer team to figure out who they are, and I would prefer the Green Bay Packers going for it. At the end of the game, we all knew if the Bears were to score a touchdown, what do we think? They're going to do what? Go for two.
Go for two.
We knew why. It's because they understood, hey, Ben Johnson, I'm going to go for it. That's exactly what you're going to do. I hope Matt LaFleur fully understands that nobody here will be upset if he continues to go for it on fourth down, because if he continues to put the ball in the hands of Jordan Love, because these guys have been responding for him, and this is the formula, as Brad said, and a great identity to have, and it's been successful for him so far this year.
For me, I think this was a conversation we had when thinking about the Bears' defense, right? How they are feast or famine. They give up a lot of yards. They give up a lot of points, but they do take the ball away. And this conversation started Monday and Tuesday, and John Anderson might have nipped it for Brad Brad had said initially, you know, maybe they have to throttle back just a little bit. If they throw a little bit more, Jordan Love will put it in danger potentially, and then you get turnovers. And then John came out and was like, Brad, what they've been doing the last 2 weeks has been working. And as soon as, and I was on that team initially because I was like, if you try and throttle back something that is working, then you get those second thoughts in your head of like overthinking, time score, do I throw it, do I not? He's playing at a level where Matt LaFleur is showing that he trusts him. And you know how we know that? Because of what Kyle said. They had every intention of just trying to get points at the end of the half. But when he saw an opportunity that was there, he did what Brad said. He let it rip and threw a perfect ball. I'd say 95% perfect.
Yeah, almost perfect. Yeah.
95% perfect.
A little bit
Bo
more
Melton.
Would have been nice.
Maybe he saw Bo Melton was like, I'm nervous. It's Bo out
Gotta
there.
Gotta make it easy for him.
Cornerback four, now playing wide receiver. You know, let's make sure he gets it. He went for it. And so I think that might not have happened if Jordan Love in the back of his head was like, game plan, don't put it at risk. Instead, he let the game flow, saw what was out there, and just played football. And he's playing in a confident way that you can expect moving forward, and you should expect moving forward because you have evidence the last 3 weeks and from every carathon that he's played in that this time of the season he's gonna cook.
Right. And that's the thing. Culture is enduring, but game plans change based on the week, right? And the culture that they're starting to implement of letting it rip, of being aggressive, it's what wins in today's NFL. If you're not doing that, if you are being conservative, if you are punting on every fourth down, if you're not going for explosive plays, you are falling behind. You're putting yourself at a disadvantage because the league has evolved. Analytics has shown that you're better off over a long period of time doing certain things as opposed to being conservative. And it's an offensive-driven league, so you have to be aggressive to some degree. Matt LaFleur, I believe, has learned that to this point. This team operates best when Jordan Love is rhythmic and able to let it rip. And, you know, you just see what this team's potential is when they're doing that. And I think that's the thing that maybe I was too honed in on the Bears was you know what? That's how they win. So we need to change what we do to counteract that. I think the reality is when you're the better team and when you have belief in yourself, it doesn't matter what the other team does. You keep on rolling because this is just a speed bump on the way to a full season.
Impose your will and your identity on the opposing team. That is what great teams do, and the Green Bay Packers need to continue to do it to get to where they want to go.
As we've mentioned, this is a Victory Monday. And we'll continue to mention it. And it's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. And if you go to stack up and get the chest freezer out, BOGO at Pick and Save right now. Connie's delivers that pizzeria taste without those prices. Cornmeal dusted thin crust and all natural ingredients to enjoy the pizzeria experience at your home. Pick and Save right now. The hot offer is Connie's. Buy one, get one through the 16th of December, Victory Monday, and get your Palermo's. And also make sure if you don't get the Connie's, you get a Screamin' Sicilian. You can find what all that screaming is about. Jason Mulde scheduled to appear at 3:45. My daughter mumbled some more words.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was shocking. Very shocking. I need some advice on how to be a parent with a daughter choosing fandom. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Kid's got the longest rope in radio.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
You could take that one of two ways, and I agree with both.
Oh, wow. Oh, oh wow. Okay, King. I see you with the confidence.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, and Brad Nortman had some people over for the Packers game yesterday. And as someone who does not really have a true affiliation to an NFL team, as we discovered some old tweets last week from Bears fans, we have a Green Bay Packers onesie that my daughter was in yesterday. And the girls in the room were chanting, "Go Pack." And she knows dad and animal sounds, but like the two-syllable thing is a little tough right now. It's like, what does a lion say? Roar. And what does a cow say? Moo. Dad. Mom. But this happened after Keyshawn Nixon picked off Caleb Williams. Take a listen.
Oh.
Pack.
That's a smart little one.
That is a smart
one. So does this mean I now have to, like, bring her to family night and
yep.
Lambeau Field for experiences?
Buy her stock.
Buy her stock?
Hey,
get her
$250 for a two-year-old?
Yeah. Ben, I mean,
it's not even for sale, is it?
Put her on the waiting list. Put her on the season ticket waiting list.
Oh.
You heard the idea of core memories?
That's what I'm experiencing. I'm getting the text going to work today about the Santa like brunches and lunches or meeting Santa. I'm like, sure, yes, but that's very important, obviously. But those are plans I don't like. Just do it.
Hey, we love Santa Claus. Make sure you're not nice, not naughty.
Very good, Kyle. So yes, Brad. Like that's why I'm bringing this up is like she grew up in my wife grew up in St. Louis. Obviously, the Rams left town. They hate Kroenke or whatever his name is, the rich guy who took him to the Rams.
Yeah.
So she's wearing Packers gear. She's saying, "Go Pack," after Keyshawn Nixon buries the Bears. You've won 12 of your last 13. Since I've been alive in 91, obviously the stats start in 92 when it gets really ridiculous, like 52-16. All I've known, and for moving to the state, is the Packers having success. So you get born into fandom, as we all talked about.
Yeah.
So am I choosing for her because this will pay off dividends in her life later?
You know how I see this, Ben? You know, one of the most important decisions of any person's life.
Kyle babysat her for 3 hours.
That's all it would take.
One of the most important decisions of your life is deciding who you're going to marry. It shapes your life in a lot of different ways. So by you cultivating and crafting your baby girl to be a Packer fan, you know what it's doing? You are self-selecting her future husband to not be a Bear fan. Now, that is an important fatherly duty right there. Now,
do I want her future husband to be anything like my family? Nope.
I mean, I will say them Bears fans got a little more wealth down in Chicago. So
it always comes back to money. So you're saying you would marry a Bears fan?
Yeah, now that's a great question.
If she had
trust fund money, and
if there was
Bears
no
fan,
baby girl, and it was a trust fund Bears fan baby girl, would that be a deal breaker?
I can't
for
see
you?
His eyes, but I can see him thinking.
Take your glasses off.
Let's not use me as an example. If I had a daughter and she's a Packer backer like her papa and her mama is, and she happened to marry a Bears fan who has a trust fund baby, he's a millionaire. Listen. Blank the Bears, go Pack, go. But I'll be blanking the Bears on his yacht. Sure will be. I'm like, the Bears still suck. Give me another Mai Tai. Come on. Oh, y'all losing again. 30 years. Hell yeah. I can be rich and happy. I can get it all. That's okay. Yeah. He's a Bears fan. But honey.
His dad owned XYZ and sold the stock. Public.
Yeah,
and see how,
yeah, we make fun of him. You know, some people make bad decisions. All the other decisions are good. So, yeah, you know what? I let him marry one, but you ain't going to be when my kids won't be when I tell them my grandkids are Packers fans. That's where we draw the line.
But, you know, the father's influence is certainly going to have them be a
fan. What if he says, with that, Papa Wallace got to – listen, I'll bribe my little grandkids.
I was just going to kill off Kyle in this world, and then he's left to make the decision.
Then my daughter is a Wallace, and she would know what to do.
She'll convert to the Bears fan.
She'd tell her husband, listen, honey, never ever. I am a Wallace, and I'm a Packers fan forever.
She gonna keep her last name?
Well, that's her decision. I don't know what she's gonna do.
I'm a Wallace.
I don't know what she's gonna do.
You wouldn't sell off for money like Kyle is a true Packer backer.
Oh,
would
he's
you?
Poor. He would 100%.
No, I wouldn't. No, I couldn't do it. I dated a Bears fan very briefly in college.
What was that like?
Lovely woman. But,
was she rich?
I don't know how. We didn't get that far.
Current girlfriend you asked about wedding vows. Well, that was years
later. I was 19 at the time, and I was, 25, 26 when I met my current girlfriend. So
wait, you don't know the financial status of a woman you're dating? Her family?
Well, I wouldn't say we were dating in college. We only hung out a few times, but we watched a Packers-Bears game together, and the Packers won, obviously.
How did you act in that environment?
As I always do, which I think was probably a turnoff.
A red flag.
Yeah.
I mean, I met some hot Bears fans before. I ain't gonna lie.
Chicago.
I mean, Illinois is a big state. Very big state.
Chicago's a big city.
Chicago's a big city. Once you go past to the south suburbs, I don't know what they look like.
Yeah, you've heard the term farmer's daughter before. That's true.
Good luckers. Those rural girls can hold their own now. They're
how
athletic.
Rural
you know
talking.
About rural girls?
They're athletic,
I don't want
you know
no.
I mean?
I don't want no woman that can shuck hay or whatever they call it. I don't want that.
Shuck hay, huh?
Shuck corn.
You're really a city boy.
Shucking corn. That's what it's shucking corn. Is that what it is?
Correct.
I don't know what shuck means.
Levi, you've been on hold for 100 minutes. It's a new record. What do you got before Jason Wilde?
You had to go there, didn't you, Ben?
No, I didn't try to.
Yeah, I know. I don't think Scalzo would do that either with your old show. No. I'm just kidding. Well, I wanted to tell Kyle, your glasses look fantastic, bro. You look little Wayne, man.
The Versace shades. You like them, Levi, huh? You got some little style in you, don't you? Like the Versace shades. Medusa head. Versace, Medusa head on me like I'm Luminati.
Right, Levi?
I'm sorry, what?
Right? Yeah, you know that?
Sorry, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. But
what else you got, Levi?
I just wanted to say that the Bears, I'm gonna give them a little credit though. They really made this game really interesting, especially in the second half or in the fourth quarter. I was actually feeling very nervous, though, a little bit.
Feel nervous no more, Levi. The game is over, and we will see them in 2 weeks. We appreciate you holding and for the wonderful call.
You made him wait 100 minutes just to cut him off?
I didn't cut him off. We got to get to Jason Wilde. He's got a tight schedule.
Oh, Jason!
That's Victory Monday brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza with delicious brands like Palermo's Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find it in your local grocer's freezer. And it's also brought to you by Callen, from kitchen and bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin fiberglass window replacements. Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation at callcallen.com. Jason Wilde joins us next.
This is Kyle Brustin-Nortman.
I have never seen BBL together.
Don't
I've
know.
Seen BBQ.
Yeah.
Barbecue. I've seen other things like that. I've never seen BBL.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The people that watch the Jets regularly, those four people, yeah, I don't know.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
This is like me announcing that I'll be on Wildy and Tausch tomorrow. I mean, God willing, if the creek don't rise.
Holding everybody accountable.
You play to your strength, and their strengths, if their offensive line can block the right people.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Nortman. Tell me now, do you want it? Because these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm they cry for you. And every Saturday night that you ain't keep my tears aglow. And these blinding lights, they shine so bright like we're on the moon.
And I want to dance another beat, no. Unless it's with you. Joining us now on Kyle Bruston Nortman is Jason Wilde. You can hear Jason on Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across his various stations, and, of course, across ESPN Wisconsin, all the shows. Weekly Wilde with Alex Stroph. Jason, what's going on?
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Doing well, Jason. I'd love to start with our poll that obviously has a lot of variance week to week. But through 14 games, and in the 2025 season alone, has Jordan Love been elite, great, good, or average? And we left average in there just to see if there are any trolls.
Oh, I think he's great, and I'm not quite ready to say elite, but I'm tempted to.
That's where I landed. Mm. The rest of the panel has
pretty close, Jason.
I like it,
pretty
Jason.
Close.
What is holding you back from elite?
Well, wait a minute. So who on this remarkable panel said elite?
To your surprise, Jason, it wasn't just me. Just me. It was me, of course.
I did as well, Jason.
I said great, teetering on elite.
Yeah, it pains me to be on the same page as Ben, but I think Ben and I are right, and you guys are prisoners of the moment a little bit. Look, he's played great the last several weeks.
It's a long moment.
And again, as much as this isn't a reason to like him, from my perspective, even more, I can't help it. I do. Like, I thought, you know, he knew what I was going for with my question yesterday. But, and when I started it with what happened on the interception, and then I led into, I mean, because look, after that, he was freaking awesome, right? And frankly, he was on point before it, too. It was just that one kind of glitch moment. But, you know, he's only thrown four picks. He had gone four games without one. He has certainly had some moments that he would like to have back. But, you know, I haven't watched every snap of Matthew Stafford or of Drake May the way I have with Jordan Love and then repeatedly watched them. But I can't imagine that those guys are far and away playing better than he is. When I stop short of elite, it's because – I think elite is really, really special, and it's not in comparison to other people that are playing now. Mm. It's in comparison to people playing at the highest of high quarterbacking levels that I've seen, whether it's as opponents or whether it's Rodgers or Favre when they're at the peak of their powers. He's been awesome. He's undeniably great. I would not rate him any lower than great. But the elite aspect, to me anyway, is really reserved for, I mean, my goodness, I give Tausch grief about this, and I probably should go back to doing it, but he kept saying that Rashawn Gary was elite. And that's just there's a reason why that word became such a joke during Joe Flacco's heyday, right? Because it, in my opinion anyway, it is a word that I just don't think should be bestowed on anyone until they've done it at the highest of high levels for a significantly extended period of time, and he's not there yet. So I hope that the people that I seem to constantly encounter that have no idea about Jordan's and my relationship and think I hate him or I'm always comparing him to Rodgers, I mean, quite frankly, the way some things have played out in the last couple of years, I would far and away much prefer to talk to Jordan Love. But he's got to do more to earn that word from me.
Jason, this time last week, we brought up Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's comments, obviously, when he took the podium at first time as a Bears coach. But now we know more. Steno said something last week. Jordan Love post-game. And obviously that very quick handshake between Johnson and LaFleur. Are we confidently able to say now that this game did mean a little bit more given those comments that Ben Johnson said to Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was wrong about that. I thought Matt LaFleur, again, going off of, because I had a conversation with him before the offseason program, and I think he was annoyed, but I thought he was more perplexed, at least in our conversation, about what Ben Johnson said. Like, it made no sense to him. Like, again, as we talked about last week, they don't have a pre-existing relationship. It certainly wasn't done all in good fun, but he chose to, instead of talking like Lovie Smith when Lovie Smith got the job and talking about how the number one priority was to beat the Packers, Ben Johnson decided to make it personal and awkwardly so in many of our opinions.
Yes.
And so I just thought that he may have been continuing to view it the way he was in the immediate aftermath of that. And I was wrong about that. Like, I think it, you know, I'm not saying that he was walking around the halls of 1265 Lombardi Avenue, constantly muttering to himself, I got to beat Ben Johnson. I got to beat Ben Johnson. I hate that guy. I got to beat Ben Johnson. But I don't think there's any question that it motivated not just him, but everyone on his staff. And you know, I think maybe Domofsky and I were both wrong about the fact that it seemed like the players didn't care about it, because I think Jordan Love did care about it. I
definitely
do.
Seemed like that.
Love that for that team.
Yeah, and that's the other. And you knew exactly where I was going, Brad. Like, there's a couple of things from yesterday that I thought are really meaningful from a non X's and O's perspective, and obviously, Ben, with your experience on a Final Four team, and Brad, your experience with a Super Bowl team.
I played on a national championship team too.
You watched from the sideline.
Yeah,
in the States.
You wore the uniform.
No, wait. I'm not here to sell you short. What? Tell me more.
Well, UW Whitewater, when we lost in the national championship to Mount Union in 2008.
Oh, I think I covered that game.
You didn't cover Kyle.
You did not cover me. That would be bad journalism if you did.
He didn't cover anyone on the field.
I did not.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you out there.
No, I'm just kidding,
I didn't know
Jason.
That about
I'm just,
you.
Hey, I'm just joking. But,
I'm just
but
kidding. Now, I just want everyone to know I played in a national championship game for
I did play is
no.
False.
Well, but that actually is we're going to run out of time now because of this. But I will tell you guys, remind me on Thursday, this is a long-term tease, what things stood out to me about yesterday that I think from a non-X's and O's perspective, three guys who played in championship environments, I think will agree with me when I reveal them.
Strofe, Thursday, non-X's and O's. Jason Will, the observation on Thursday.
I played in an eighth grade championship for Preble's Futures B team. Does that count?
Preble Futures were pretty bleak back then, from what I understand. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. How could I forget about Alex Strofe's athletic career? That's my bad.
Speech and debate won several championships.
Jim, Matt, and Molly up next in Madison. The Damn Sports Show in Beaver Dam. We're right here on 94.5 ESPN. YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. And if you want to continue on with us, we're on the ESPN Wisconsin app in 2 minutes. Never ends.